Hello everyone, this episode is a very special one as we're recording it just a few weeks after meeting in person with Bruna at the Rainbow Six Siege 6 Invitational in Sao Paulo, where SI broke a few major records and it was great to witness all of that in person. So as I've mentioned, my today's guest is Bruna Soares, she's Global Director of Brand Partnerships and straight from Sao Paulo herself. Welcome to It's Her Game, Bruna.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me and thank you for your kind words, Domi. It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah, you're an absolute powerhouse when it comes to what you do at Ubisoft and, you know, always so much energy. It's great that you had some time. I know your schedule is pretty busy. So I'm great. I'm really grateful for having you on the show. So let's start by sharing with our listeners what you are currently doing in your role.
Okay, so currently, I'm in charge for global brand partnerships. I'm a director in this area. And basically, I'm charged with my team, of course, because I have one person in France, because Ubisoft is a French company, and we also have someone in Latin America and in the United States. And the objective of our team is to connect brands into our games. And we have two ways to do that. One is about integration in game, is when we have Prada integrated in Riders Republic or Red Bull. And the second pillar of this group is about promotion and retail, is when we have items in game with some of our partners. So this is something that years ago, we didn't have a lot of brands integrated in video games, especially non-endemic brands. But more and more, we have big brands, big agencies, thinking in video games as a very powerful media. And it is, right? Because Gen Z, the main entertainment for this, for them, it's about video games. So this is why we have a lot of great cases, and I hope to have even more cases in the future.
Yeah, I think it's very exciting. I remember, you know, a few years back at this point, but my dissertation was actually about like having these brands incorporated in video games and how the paradigm has shifted over the time. I think for me, what's always really interesting is to see these luxury brands getting into the world of gaming. And as you mentioned, there was this partnership with Prada and Republic Riders, right? And yeah, so it's an interesting combination because it's not like your first thought, you know, to put these two brands together. Can you maybe give us a bit of a context on how did it happen that they two come together?
Of course. First of all, we need to be super cautious about brands into video games. Because it's not just because a brand wants to be integrated in video game that you should do that. We need to see the players. We need to understand the community. And Prada and the Riders Republic, your example is a pretty good one. Because when we started to discuss with Prada, they wanted to connect their products into video games to talk with a new audience. Because Prada is a luxury brand, and they understand, and this is really great about Prada, they understand that they need to talk with some people that is not a Prada client, but might be in the future, might be now. And we know how powerful this new generation they are in terms of money, influence, and the Prada is totally aware of that. So this is why our partnership with them, it's not just about items in game, but also about an event in game. And interesting fact to share here is the event of Prada in Riders Republic is the most played event in game. So every time we have discussions with the studios to understand how to integrate a brand, and that this is my favorite part of my work, Domi, is to understand how can you put that brand offering entertainment to our players. It's not just, okay, let's put a brand and here we go, that's it. No, let's offer something really meaningful for the players. They will have a good time in game and a good time with our partner.
Yeah, of course. So it's more of an experience than an ad, right? Or a commercial placement. I think it's great, and the way it can be like seamlessly integrated in the game. Well, it looks effortless, you know, once you play, but there is a lot of work that has to be done before the partnership becomes a reality, and you get a chance to experience that in the game. But you've been talking with such a passion and knowledge about what you're doing, and you know, you've been with Ubisoft for over 11 years at this point. So what inspired you to enter the gaming industry in the first place?
That's a good question. Yes, 11 years working for Ubisoft, and before Ubisoft, I worked for PlayStation. So it's a little bit more about video games. And to be honest with you, Domi, I didn't plan that. It was something that happened because I graduated in public relations years ago. I'm not sure my age here, but a long time ago. And in public relations, I started then to work with PlayStation inside the communication team. And after PlayStation, I studied marketing, actually in the meanwhile. And I started working here for Ubisoft 11 years ago. And it wasn't about communication. It was more about trade. It was another market, totally different. The video game market was another one. And I started to work here, focusing retailers and to help them to develop the business. And now, after this journey, I'm with the global team of partnerships. So it was not planned, but this is something that I'm super happy to be part of this industry. This is something I used to share, that once you started to work in the gaming industry, it's rare to see someone that will change for another thing. So it's like forever. Because you need to be updated all the time. You need to be curious. You need to not be afraid to learn new things. And this is really great because, of course, you have a lot of experts in this industry. It's a very professional industry. But you need to be interest about new technologies, about new ways to work, and this is also something great for the new generation, for who is joined to this industry in the future.
Yeah, I agree. It brings so many interesting industries together, but because it's technology, it's art, it's psychology, so like all the things that you need to be curious and interested in. And even if it wasn't a part of your life at the early stage, it's somehow like, if you're into marketing, if you're into PR, then obviously you're into people and their desires and the way they find entertainment or they find joy in life. So I think it's good. Yeah, I can attest to that. There's no way back from gaming. So you join once you're there, right? And do you recall, you know, you've mentioned you've joined in the trade department, right? So do you recall the first time you had something to do with gaming and at Ubisoft, and how did that impact your next steps at Ubisoft?
Yes, there is a game here at Ubisoft that it's a game that has a place in my heart because it was the first game I started to work, which is Just Dance. So when I started to talk with Ubisoft about the possibility to be part of the team, the main focus was about Just Dance. Just Dance was one of the main games for Xbox 360. Wow. And we had a lot of... This is the beginning of my life in partnership because as Just Dance was so strong for X, I started making some partnerships with Microsoft locally. And after that, I had, of course, other partnerships. But it was totally different because I remember we were super focused. Maybe it's hard to say now numbers, But I would say that 80% of our business in Latin America, back in the time, it was about retail. Now, 80% it's about digital. So, and I think this is definitely something about the professional that's part of this industry. Sometimes you start as this title, but depending on the way the market will change, we need to be open for new possibilities and new venues for adventures. So I think now it's a totally different, of course, but maybe in 10 years, Tommy, would be different, would be even more different. I'm sure, especially about the new technologies, artificial intelligence. So we need to be prepared about this type of change.
Yeah, I completely agree. And to some extent, that answers the next question I wanted to ask, because you've been for a while in the gaming industry in general, and mostly in a public facing roles, interacting with different stakeholders, talking to different people. So, you know, over this slightly more than a decade, what do you consider to be like the most significant changes in the industry over these years?
I think the first one, I think, is the fact that now game is a service. And if we look back more than 11 years, I think maybe 20 years, we didn't have this concept super strong. We have some games with this concept, but more and more, Rainbow Six is a good example. We are now in the 8 years, we just started the 8 year of Rainbow Six. So this is the proof that we need to have a relevant content all the time. We need to think of ways to make the community engaged with that game. So for example, when we were kids, I think I'm older than you, I'm sure, Domi. But when I was
no worries.
Kid,
there was no games as a live service when I was a kid either. So.
Yeah. No, I remember when I was a kid, I had a Master System, which was my first video game. And I played Sonic again and again, 1,000 times. The same thing, everything was in my head. I know when I'll have some. The missions, some challenges on the missions. But now what we needed to think is about, okay, we have a very strong community playing this video game. And this is not just about Ubisoft. This is about our industry, right? Fortnite is an example. And ways to think how to engage this community into the game. And another thing that I already mentioned, it's about digital. Because years ago, it was about a physical, you go to a store and you buy a video game. Now it's not the same. You can buy a video game now, directly on your PC or in your console. And this is totally easy. So I think a video game is also another status, because in the past, we used to think about video games for kids, or video game as something that it's about our bedrooms. But now video games, it's a center of entertainment. We have a video game in our room, main room at our houses. It's not just about video kids. We have a lot of kids playing video game, and this is great. And by the way, just a comment here. There are a lot of kids, they have friends, and they create connections, they're being super social through video games. And depending on the game, at Ubisoft, we have, it's our main franchise, one of our main franchises, Assassin's Creed, that the average age is around 30 years old. So you have a more mature people playing video games, for example. So I think if you start to talk about all the changes in the game industry, you can talk for hours and hours. But this is just a piece on how the game industry changed year after year.
Yeah, Assassin's Creed is one of my favorite game. So I'm looking forward to see, you know, some Balenciaga skins or whatever for Cassandra. So that might be an interesting collaboration. But it's interesting what you're saying, definitely through that. Now game is more at the center of people's life, people's activities, more of a lifestyle choice now than an addition to a lifestyle. So with that being said, well, I assume that has a big impact on your role as well. And this transition from like one of purchase to, you know, game as a service, how does that impact your role?
Yes, definitely. So when I was part of the Latin America team, for us was clear that retail was changing. This is why we started to invest more about partnerships. And now, as part of the global team, for me, this is definitely something that some big companies, Domi, and this is totally normal, okay? Because we are working for the game industry for a long time. So some CMOs, some marketing managers, they don't know, and it's totally normal. But in the past, we used to have partnerships. We used to have big moments just around the release of the game. And now this is not the same scenario. So, of course, the release of the game is very important. But depending on the game, another example, Just Dance again. So Just Dance, you have a peak in terms of sales during summer break and the Christmas. Hmm. Other games such as Assassin's Creed, The Division, of course, during the release, we have a peak. But as we are talking about game as a service, every time we have a new content, we can have a new partners, we can have a new integration, we can think in marketing in a different way. So this is something that makes us to always think about what is next. Mm-hmm. It's not just about let's spend all our money, all of our efforts in terms of partnerships for the release. No, we can think about the next season. For example, the crew this year, the Crew Motorfest, in October, we'll start the year two of the game. And yes, we can have partnerships for the year two of the game. So we don't need to wait for the release to have partnerships or to invest our marketing budget.
Do you think it will come to the point with the customization of these campaigns that you'll have, let's say, one season, but you have different target groups among the players and you'll have like different partnerships targeted and presented to different player groups?
Yes, absolutely. So I'll use again Just Dance, but for example, in Just Dance, we have seasons, and these seasons, it's about a team. Sometimes it's Latin music, sometimes it's Disney, kids. And yes, this is the idea. Of course, this is not just about partnerships. We have a bigger strategy. But when you have a season about gym, about fitness, why not plug with sports companies? Mm-hmm. So yes, it makes. And this example is about Just Dance, but this is the same for other games as well. And depending on the partnership, then we can also think about how can you create a content or a season that is super connected with this brand because it makes sense. So Red Bull and the crew, for example, we have some seasons that is just about Red Bull because it makes sense. They have vehicles, they have athletes, they have a stronger content. So I think this is one of our main roles here in brand partnerships is how can we identify some internal opportunities and plug with external partners.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think Red Bull is a great fit for that game because it's all about like empowering extreme sport athletes and, you know, giving them wings and all this stuff. So definitely it's a native integration. I think this like aspect of creating a partnership that feels natural and kind of extends the offline world to some extent or represent the offline world super important. I remember one partnership I was like kind of impressed with, but I think they crossed the line a little bit and pushed the brand a bit too hard, was NBA 2K and Gatorade. Once they did this partnership that you had like a Gatorade sponsorship, and that was like a side quest for NBA 2K. It was really interesting, but then at some point it was just too much Gatorade everywhere, you know? So like Gatorade points, Gatorade missions, etc. It's a really fine line to walk, to make sure that you like don't offend your players to some extent.
Yes, I totally agree. It's a very, very fine line. And this is the point why we need to have the studios engaged with us about the partnerships. Because there is another point, Domi. When we play video games, of course, we have some free-to-plays. But here at Ubisoft, we have some HD games, and you pay for this game. And when you pay for something like that, you are not expecting to have a thousand of brands integrated in this game. So we need to be super cautious to not seem to our players that that game is like a Times Square, no connection. No. This is something I said at the beginning. For us, it's super important to have a connection. And that we do believe about co-creation. It's not something that, okay, what's your idea, brand? Ah, I'm releasing a new product and I want to put this product in game. It's possible, but depend of the game. We have a right moment to add this in game because we don't want a backlash with our community. And of course, the partner, they don't want to have a backlash. So we needed to work together, not only with the studio, but also with the community managers to understand the right way to connect brands into our games.
Yeah, I think that's very mindful and very important. Like you can, you know, earn trust through hard work with the community and lose it with one careless action. So it's a big part of your job, I assume, to make sure that everything just feels right. And you know, on this topic, because one thinks about having brands integrated in the game, but there is also like another way of having game integrated in different sectors and different domains, and it's very much about IP licensing. So how, like, what do you think about that? And what do you think is the most sustainable approach? And I think like there was also like a really interesting case of Just Dance turning into a TV show in LATAM at some point, right? And it's like some sort of a licensing agreement as well, or like collaboration to some extent. But yeah, what are your thoughts on this licensing aspect?
Yes, and we have a few examples, Dami. You mentioned the reality show. And what's the point of this part of partnership? Is the fact of how important the gaming industry is, and how other medias, other areas, they are interested about video game. Because when you are playing video game, it's that moment that you are in front of your TV. But if you like the video game, you want to buy a t-shirt, you want to have experiences with that brand. So this is why trade shows, it's super important. Consumer shows is super important. So in the case of a reality show, it was during the pandemic, we had this case here in Latin America. And it was in partnership with TV Global, one of the biggest broadcasting company in the world. And it was, and Coca-Cola was the sponsor. And when we had this partnership with Coca-Cola, the idea is, how can you talk with the gaming community through Just Dance? And we create a tournament with some influencers on TV. And we had amazing results. So we have more than 200 million impressions, considering TV, social media. So this is really amazing. And this is just one case. Another one that I really like, it's about McDonald's and the Just Dance as well. So with McDonald's, when we started the discussion with them, it was for the Happy Meal. And mm-hmm. we all know that Happy Meal is for little kids.
Mm-hmm.
But when we talk with McDonald's, they want to have something that, of course, it's about little kids, but can connect them with parents and with teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
And Just Dance is a great example, because sometimes at McDonald's we can see some Happy Meal that it's super about little kids and there is no mm-hmm. connection with the parents or teenagers. Just Dance is different. It's for everyone. So, and another example to use another Ubisoft JP is, this is a new one, and it's happening now here in Brazil. It's an experience in mall with Rainbow Six Siege.
Oh,
so you can
great.
Go there. Yeah, so it's not about playing the game. It's about to have an experience to live a mission in game. So this is definitely something that it makes sense for the new generation. Because again, it's the video game fan is not about just that moment that you are in front of your TV. You are a fan of a video game in your life, and you want to be in contact with your favorite IP or your favorite IP. It doesn't matter. It's about playing or living an experience external.
I think it's very interesting, and I do like these collaborations. I think this extension of game IP and like building an ecosystem that feels native, it's very subtle and very nice way of like reinforcing this connection with your players and communities. So I think it's great. And we've been talking a lot about examples from LATAM and from Brazil, and it's a big market for Ubisoft games. But in general, over the last years, it has become a massive market for video games, or maybe it's been like that before, but it got more acknowledged and more recognized on the global scale. And you being from Brazil, we were at Six Invitational that took place for the first time in Sao Paulo, where the Rainbow Six community is insane. I saw someone, you know, proposing on the scene, and they were like these two twin brothers playing against each other. And like, exactly, it was like everything happened during that tournament, and the energy was incredible. And it's hard to imagine that it's such an early days of community to some extent. And from your perspective, how has the Brazilian market evolved, or esports market, gaming market evolved over the last years?
Yeah, evolution is definitely a good word to define that, Domi. So since Invitational, we had an amazing moment. So for me, this is the biggest moment of Rainbow Six for us, because if you put in comparison the past and the present moment of the game, in the past, it was a little bit about homemade.
Mm-hmm.
In a good way, because I remember to see the team trying, doing their best to make the first tournament, sometimes in small events, and now see a big venue as we have for the Six Invitational here in São Paulo, the biggest city in Brazil with more than 12 million people. It's crazy. And when you think about this evolution, for sure, the first is about money, because when we started to have the esports scene, we didn't have a lot of budget to invest in it, because we needed to have the community first, and after that to see the size of the investment for esports. And now, definitely, it was a very high-end, I would say, delivery in terms of production. And another thing, it's about the teams as well. So when we started, we have some teams that started the scene. And now some of the biggest orgs in the world, they are part of the Rainbow Six scene as well. So definitely a lot has changed. But I think first, we have a pretty good game. So we are very lucky to have Rainbow Six as part of Ubisoft portfolio. And after 8 years of this game, we have a relevant content. We have a new operators. The studio in Montreal, they are always thinking of ways to create very engaging content in-game. And this is reflecting about the esports scene. So, and there is another thing about Brazil that it's not because I'm Brazilian, maybe it is, but I think here the community, they are very passionate about the game. So you can see that at the finals, we had two Brazilian teams, and it was, you mentioned the twin brothers, yeah, in different teams, and you saw the energy, how electric the audience they were at the finals. And I think it is a super about Brazil. I think every time we have this type of in real life event, we are super there. And it's about video games, but it's also about concerts. It's about every time you can ask to rock stars, to pop stars about what's Brazil for you, and it's super about the engaging of the audience, the passion of everyone. And this was definitely one of the main sauces that we had for the Six Invitational.
Yes, I completely agree. It felt like a festival, you know. At some point you had like a metal music concert with your theme song, then there was a classical music, then someone proposed, then the game itself was also like incredibly exciting and like really keeping everyone on the edge. Because it went in overtime, and then obviously people got more heated and even more passionate in the audience. I do think, I do agree with what you said, that something exceptional about this passion and this energy in Brazil. And from your perspective also, if you think about working with brands and bringing partnerships to their games, what are the key differences when you're looking for a partnership for LATAM and for maybe different parts of the world, or is it generally on a global scale? Like, how do you approach this?
That's a very good question, Domi. So it's definitely not the same thing, because when you think about local companies, you are mentioning Latin America, but we also have the same situation in Australia, in Japan. So when we are talking with local companies, first, we need to understand the games that it's more relevant in that countries, because sometimes a game that's super strong in Europe, in the US, is not the same in Latin America, in Japan. So we need to understand if it makes sense first. And another very important point we need to share with the partner is sometimes we can't do local integration. For example, a car company in Brazil, they want to do something in the Chromotor Fast, Brazil only. Unfortunately, we can do Brazil only. Mm-hmm. It's global. But this is possible. It's totally possible. But this car, or it doesn't matter, or an event in game, would be visible worldwide. And but we also know that sometimes the budget, they are totally different. The budget for a campaign in Brazil is different for a global budget, a global campaign.
Yeah.
So this is why sometimes we try to find alternatives. And this is good about Brazil, about Japan, Australia, because I see the companies and the agencies, they are very creative. They really want to think, I'll use this expression, I'm not a super fan, but outside the box. So sometimes the first idea is, I'm thinking about an integration in game. Okay, but in Brazil, why not an event? Why not a reality show or a tournament? So we're trying to understand what's the need of the partner, because sometimes it's just an idea, because they don't know exactly all their possibilities. But once we understand them and we have more information from the partners, it's easy for us to plug in different ideas and possibilities.
Yeah, I think it's really an art, you know, to understand which game, which brand, when. It's a lot of elements that come
this
together.
This is so cool. I really like this part as well, because sometimes it's like, this is great because at Ubisoft Chess we have an extensive portfolio. Sometimes we start thinking about Just Dance, and and in the end it's like, okay, Brawlhalla might be a good idea.
Yeah.
So we can change.
Yeah, you always have to be like attuned, present, you know, and like very up to date with everything, which obviously is great if you're into it. So I think you're definitely a right person in the right place. And, you know, you've been doing it for a while and you've been doing it successfully. And I think many people who are listening to us, they are sometimes at the very beginning of their professional career, and they may not really know how to land a job in game partnership or in any sort of job that is similar to what you're doing. So what would be your advice for someone who's just about to start their professional path and their professional career, and they may not know how to plan their future to get somewhere near to where you are?
Okay. You know what? I will share what I would love to hear years ago, and I learned living.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first thing it's about, don't be afraid, because I think you agree with me, right, Dom? I think sometimes in the gaming industry, you have situations that as a woman, we have some questions, internal questions. It's not about other people. It's like, it's about, I'm doing this right. And now, and this is a process. I think we are always learning. But yes, you are doing this right. I think, and there is another thing, is there are a lot of girls and women that sometimes we are afraid about the gaming industry because we don't consider ourselves gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And but this is not an issue. I used to play games, but not a lot of games. So for me, even now, working for years in this industry, I have some issues to say that I'm a gamer. I am, but not with a lot of hours in gaming, but this is not why we are here. We are here because we are capable to develop the business, because we love video game as an industry.
Yeah.
And I think this is the most important. And to have more women in video games is definitely something that it's part of my purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can see more. When I started, this is true, I didn't see a lot of women. At Ubisoft, we do have, but even better. But I don't think this is just about the game industry. I think this is about tech. I think every woman working in tech, in gaming, we have the same, we are living the same situation. But in the end, I think we need to be more confident about what we are doing. And if you don't know about something, at the beginning, I remember I was like, oh my gosh, I can't understand exactly what is that asking, making questions. So I think in the end, it's not about gender. It's about be curious and make questions, make connections. You have a dummy that it's such inspiring woman in this industry. So I'm super happy to meet her months ago. And I hope this is for a very, very long time, forever,
exactly.
Dummy.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's important. So we need to support each other. And for me, when a woman...
Yeah, I completely agree with you. And I've seen that more and more often recently, that there is, you know, women feel more confident. They feel that there is a space for everyone, for each of them. So it's not about fighting for the same spot, but it's about like moving forward together, which is great. And as you mentioned, I'm very grateful too that we've met and with many more women in the industry right now. Thank you for today and thank you for this conversation. It was great having you on It's Her Game. And I'm looking forward to seeing you again at one of the Rainbow Six events. And good luck for the future. It's great having you, Bruna. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Dami. It was really amazing. Hope to see you soon.